Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Well, good morning. That's pretty good. Yeah, we're awake this morning. I also have a card I want to share with you. It says, Dear Pastor Sizemore and congregation, thank you so much for the ice cream that you provided for every student. The children loved it. We also want to thank you for the crackers and drinks you provided to the teachers and staff during Teacher Appreciation Week. You have also been so kind to provide clothes for our students. Sincerely, Angie Showalter, the principal of Welford Academy. So I wanted to share that with you. That came in the mail this week. Yeah, that's... We talk about transforming the world around here. And that's how you do it. One person at a time. You show the love of Christ to people one person at a time. We're going to be in John's Gospel today, the 14th chapter. And I'm also going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 2. If you're using one of our Bibles, the Emmanuel Pewback Bibles, that's page 877 and 885. So if you will stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the Gospel this morning, if you are able. We're beginning with the 14th chapter of John. I'll begin in the 15th verse. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from my Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And from the second chapter of Acts, the account of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from the heavens, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, by the power and inspiration of your Holy Spirit, open your word to us. In Christ's name, amen. So today, we pick up kind of where we left off. We started with Jesus' great commission to go make disciples. Then last week, we looked at ascension, where he rose to live with the Father forever. And he said that we will be his witnesses. And now we see the Holy Spirit coming. just as Jesus had promised. Today is one of the three big holidays for the universal church. You're familiar with the first two, Christmas. Christ came to be God with us. Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. And then here we are today, celebrating Pentecost, the birth of the church. So I started thinking and throwing away and rewriting this week. And how do I wrap up Pentecost, something I'm very passionate about, and still do justice to confirmation, and still do justice to our heritage? And I finally decided to write a list of what I really want for today for these two young ladies to take and always remember. And those things that ended up on the list were something I think we all need to remember. And this is what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart this week. So always remember, church, that God loves you. But He doesn't just love you. He like loves you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, I love pizza. Right? But amen, that's right. We're going to get the church moving this morning. If I mention tacos, we're going to have church. But I love my wife. Y'all know what I'm saying? And I love my kids, especially the little cute one. So y'all know what I'm talking about, right? God is crazy about you. You. Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and tap him and say, God's crazy about you. Go ahead, do it. If you don't like him, if you're mad at him this morning, just tell him anyway. Now, here's the harder part. Say to yourself, God's crazy about me. It's harder to say that, isn't it? Because who knows you better than you? But see, God did all the creation. He started putting all the beautiful things that we love, the outdoors, the mountains, the seas, and he said, oh, that's good. But then he said, let us create mankind in our image. And he said, oh, now that's very good. Your God loves you so much. When he looked at you, he said, you are very good. Isn't that powerful? See, sometimes we just need to remember that because we've fallen, because we have scars, because we have wounds, because we are not as good as maybe we should be, that God is still crazy about you. He's so crazy about you, he came down and was born in a pig trough, essentially, is what it was. We call it a manger to make it sound cute. It's what the animals were eating out of. So much he loves you. He loved you so much, he let his son die on a cross. And he loved you so much at Pentecost, he sent his spirit to be with you always. So that you would not be orphaned. So that you would not be without a God. You know, we give our most valuable things to those we love the most. If you've ever been married and you bought an engagement ring, you know what I'm talking about. When God sends His Holy Spirit at Pentecost, He gives you the most valuable thing He has. He's already given you His Son, and now He's given you His Spirit. Why? Because He's so crazy about you. And I don't know, maybe you've never even been told that before. I don't know, maybe you've never been told. You say, well, God loves you. We sing that, right? We talked about that with the kids. God loves the little children. But God loves you. But He doesn't just love you. Like, He's like crazy in love with you. I don't know, maybe you needed to hear that this morning. Second thing I want us all to remember is that always remember we love because He first loved us. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? We love because He first loved us. So how do you love someone who's done so much for you? And see, here's the crazy thing. God's done that much and He loves you that much whether you love Him or not. That's what makes Him different than us. We only love people that really love us most of the time. God loves all of us. He just says, I love you. But now we get to love God back. What we see in the 15th verse, in the reading from the 14th chapter of John, he says over and over again, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So church, this may be hard to hear, but if we love Christ, we should be living out His word. You cannot say with your mouth that you love, oh, I love God, I go to church, and then not follow the teachings of Christ. And so he said, keep the commandments. Well, Jesus said a lot of things, didn't he? Y'all think y'all can keep all of them? Well, he boiled it down for us because he knew we weren't very smart. I'm glad y'all laughed at that one. I wasn't sure how that one would go over. He said this. He said, love God with all you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and all the commandment hang on these two. Church, I think we can work on those two. Jesus has made it not easy, but he's broken it down for us. Love God with all you have. We talked about this every class in confirmation. Love God, vertical, with all you have. Love your neighbor as yourself, horizontal. And then we should be the cross of Christ for those in need. We've talked about it over and over again. That's what made the Methodist movement a revival movement. It wasn't because the theology was better. It wasn't because they had buildings. They didn't even have buildings. They had fields and graveyards and coal mines. But they started stirring in people's heart that God loved them and they needed to love God back. And they stirred in their heart that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that person is worthy of your love. You need to go love them. We see as you keep reading the second. Will y'all read the second chapter of Acts later today so I don't have to read it to you? Y'all do that for me? Two of you will. Thank you. The rest of you will have the second going of this sermon after church today. No, we won't. I'm going to eat. But we see this in the 43rd verse. All came among everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Okay, so this is what's happened. Peter gets up and he starts preaching. The same Peter that failed three times. The same Peter that was redeemed three times. He stands up, he starts preaching, and he's like getting all up on people's toes, and he's like, y'all killed Jesus. He was here for you. You didn't recognize him. He quotes the prophet Joel. He quotes David. And the young adult class told me this morning, they were studying, and said, they didn't even need an altar call. The people came up to the apostles and said, what do we need to do? And he said, repent, be baptized. 3,000 people joined the church that day. Probably the greatest movement, and I don't think anybody's membership rolls have topped Pentecost. I don't have a 3,000 person sermon. Y'all just going to have to get over it. We're going to have to chip away at that. But Peter said, repent and be baptized. So now all these believers, the 3,000 and the 120 that were already together, they're in this place, they're living together. It says, all who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute and proceeds and the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at each other's homes. They ate food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all the people. They worshiped and praised God together, and they took care of each other. That's why they were successful in the early church. The final thing that I would want all of us to remember is to keep going. To keep going and never be satisfied. What I mean by that is, and I'll be honest with you, I told the confirmation girls yesterday, I said, what the church doesn't need, and by the church, I'm talking about the universal church. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church. What it doesn't need is more people that know about Jesus. What we need is people willing to live like Jesus. And that's what I left them with yesterday. I said, we don't need anybody else just to take membership vows so we can vote on things. We need people that will take those vows seriously and change the world by living like Jesus. It's a tall order for two middle school girls. But you know, they agreed. They agreed. We talked about John Wesley and his teachings on Christian perfection. And just you can substitute that word perfection with maturity. What he meant was we grow in our maturity. Our love of God and our love of neighbor becomes the goal of our heart. He didn't mean we wouldn't make mistakes. But we talked about that. And we talked about how it's not about all the good things we can do, but it's how we grow in love. It's how we grow in love. And I told them it's a journey. But you ought to be more mature today than they were 3 years ago when I met them for the first time. And they are. but they ought to be more mature in 3 years than they are now. And you, church, should be more mature than you were when you accepted Christ. And next month, you ought to be a little more mature than you are now. And I'm not talking about like behavior maturity, because some of us never get there. But I'm talking about living like Jesus' maturity. You see, the more you are loved, the more you want love. One example of that is when I started dating Stacy, she was so crazy about me. I couldn't stop wanting to spend time with her. I couldn't get her to be quiet. I mean, can we do something? Can we do? Yeah, okay. I got friends here. They'll tell you that's the truth. Not here at church, but they'll tell you somewhere else that that's the truth. But the words to a song called Set on Fire says, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. That's what I want for these girls. That's what I want for each and every one of you. That's what I want for myself, my family, my kids. I can't think of anything else I could ever want for my kids more than for their love of God to always be giving me more. Give me more. And the only way that's possible is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the obedience to the teachings of Christ, to love God with all we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So where are my girls? Here's one. Always remember God's crazy about you. Church, remember God's crazy about you. Remember that we only love because He loved us first. Church, remember we only get to love because of what He did for us. And girls, never be satisfied with your faith. Keep growing. Keep going on to perfection. Until all you desire is Christ. And you will change the world. Church, let's stop being satisfied. Let's keep going on. Give me more, God. Give me more. Let's change the world. One person at a time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.